I have a very strange obsession with collecting discs. I really like Blu-rays and DVDs. I mean, maybe it's not strange to some people, but I have a coworker and she is like, I love that you love that. I just don't get it. I mean, what you're saying makes sense, but it's just not resonating with me. And my physical media collectors, they get it, but not everyone does. The anime that we're talking about today, The 12 Kingdoms, I literally did not watch for 2 years after I found out about it, strictly because I wanted to watch it in the highest possible quality on a Blu-ray. And I found that Blu-ray for a reasonable price at an anime convention that I was tabling at with said coworker. So naturally, as soon as I got home from the convention, I took a nap. Next thing you know, I woke up, went on about my day, and I thought, I should watch this now. 2 days passed, my birthday came, I was now 27. We're getting off track. Essentially, I did not watch it until maybe 2 weeks after I got it, which in itself is quite rare. But this was uncharted territory. This is something that I have been waiting for such a long time. I really wanted to make sure that I was in the proper state of mind to consume this piece of media, especially because I have commitment issues. So watching shows past 20-ish episodes, it's not necessarily that it feels like a chore, but when you're a content creator, of course you can take notes, but there are things that you feel like you're going to forget, especially when you have a full-time job too. And I wanted to make sure there was a stretch of time that I could fully lock in on this. And even with that, I didn't binge it or anything. I couldn't do all 45 episodes in one sitting, and I didn't. I refused to do that because, again, I wanted to give this show my utmost attention. And it rocked my world. But before we get into all of that, hello. Welcome to the Home for Anime. I am your host, GPC, Great Podcaster Callie, and we're here to talk about the 12 Kingdoms. Because the 12 Kingdoms, more than any isekai that I have ever seen, freaking owns. I mean, it is without a doubt one of the greatest isekai, one of the greatest fantasy anime that I have ever seen. The plot for the 12 Kingdoms is as such. Yoko Nakajima has only ever wanted to be normal. She does what she's asked, gets good grades, is the class president, and even helps her classmates whenever she can. But because of her red hair, she has never fit in. With her pushover attitude, Yoko lets classmates take advantage of her, so she has no one she can really call a friend. But on an otherwise ordinary day, a man who claims to be from another world barges into Yoko's classroom and bows before her. This elegant blonde-haired man, Keiki, claims that Yoko is his master and belongs on the throne of his kingdom. However, their first meeting is cut short, as Keiki has been followed by otherworldly beasts called Yoma. He's able to escape with Yoko into his own realm, but two other classmates, Ikuya Asano and Yuka Sugimoto, are caught up in the madness as well. Unfortunately, their troubles have only just begun, as the Yoma attack leaves them separated from Keiki. Alone in this strange new land, these ordinary students must learn to fend for themselves or die. Did he really just read the full plot synopsis from my anime list? You bet your bottom dollar I did, because I thought that was so epic. That grabbed me. I also really like that it casually drops in some lore. Like it introduces what a Yoma is. You just know it as a monster. You know that Keiki is bowing to Yoko, but you don't know why. Like, this is a perfect example of I am giving you just enough to see if this pulls you in. And it does. I really, really like the way that this story goes about because it has some of the best world building that it integrates into its storytelling. Yoko with Asano and Nakajima, they are a trio literally of Japanese students, high school students, who are brought into another world that is kind of based on like a mixture of Japan and China, mainly China, but they cannot understand what anybody is saying until Yoko eventually is able to, but that's because she actually is supposed to be the ruler of one of the kingdoms in this other world, which, oddly enough, is kind of on the opposite side of our world. It's kind of like a reverse. It's really hard to put it into words, my own words. They actually take a lot of time and care to talk about it, and really a lot of things in the universe of the 12 kingdoms. This world has really cool concepts. Aside from having its own language, you have beast people who can turn into humans, but there's this discriminatory aspect to it, so it's not completely unlike our world, but it's still so wildly different. What I like so much is that it takes so many elements from different time periods and different elements of society, both then and now, well, now as late as 2002 and the books that were made in the early 2000s and I believe the 90s, it puts all of those together to make this society and this world, which it throws a lot at you, but the way that it's put together, you hear so many different things like Yoma, like you understand these different monsters, these different servants, these different races. Everything that's mundane in our world is made into something more interesting there. It really piques your curiosity as to how everything came to be. Everything from like how babies are born to how rulers are chosen, which really threw me for a loop, especially because to be chosen, you don't necessarily have to be raised in that other world. And there's a whole explanation behind that that I can't get into because it's a really cool reveal. But I can assure you, everything that is built up in this world is wholly unique and just so excellently woven together. I really cannot sing these praises high enough because when you are introduced to everything, because a lot of it comes at once, you are so confused and you get some explanation, but also because you hear the same things and you can associate them with different people, different nations, and all that. It just It's an organic learning experience that helps to integrate you into this world until you don't fully understand everything. Even in the very end, I didn't 100% get everything. I would say it's something that I would want to watch again, maybe even read. But I was so gripped the whole time that I was yearning to be able to grasp every concept that the show threw at me. And for 45 episodes to keep me strapped in, that's a major W because my attention span sometimes is great, other times is not. But for something that long, I could not wait to get home from work, take a shower, eat, and then watch The 12 Kingdoms because I was engrossed in The 12 Kingdoms. I am still enamored with The 12 Kingdoms. And another part of that is the characterization of especially Yoko, which Yoko is only one part of this grand story. Yoko is the main protagonist of the anime in certain parts. And that's because it's not just about Yoko and her kingdom. It's literally called the 12 Kingdoms. Yoko is our in to this world, but she's also not that great of a person. And we get that from that synopsis that I gave. Yoko is extremely relatable. She's afraid of conflict. Honestly, I would say she's a coward, which is fine, but she doesn't like herself. She understands her flaws. She feels like she's not good enough, like I think a lot of us can feel like at times. But she takes it to an extreme, like a child would, a child who is being forced these massive throes of responsibility. Yoko is forced to grow up so that she can become the ruler that she believes her subjects, when she actually takes the throne, that she thinks that they deserve. And all the way up to her coronation, and even after, she struggles. She is struggling, even when she realizes, I need to live for me. I need to be the person who I want and need to be. She still will wholeheartedly acknowledge, I don't know what is best for this kingdom. I may have more confidence in myself as a person, as a ruler, not so much. I still don't understand, Keiki, why you chose me. And it's just a learning journey for her, for the most part. It does veer off into other stories a little bit here and there, but I like how this show plays on the typical story conventions that we've known from Isekai. When Nakajima and Asano are brought into this world with Yoko, they're completely lost because they're not, chosen. So they are side characters. One ends up just trying to survive. The other is in the mindset of, I didn't fit in my own world. This is the place where I need to be. And that journey, both of their journeys are actually very enticing to look into. When you see them, you wonder, how are they going to make it actually? And it's a valid question. And the answer for both of them is, it's kind of heartbreaking in a sense. Which, again, I can't fully go into, but every character has some sort of baggage to them. They all have histories. They all have things that are driving them forward. Some of them want a better life for themselves. Some want a better life for others. And some people are just trying to survive. And knowing that all of this is happening in this world that, again, is so foreign to us and to them. I like that the anime went the direction of making Yoko our main character to see everything through. She's the perfect conduit because it's easier for her to integrate into the world since she's the one who can learn the language than it is for the other two. So she's the perfect bridge for the viewer. And her story is compelling enough that it's worth diving into for more than half of the show. When we get into other character stories, it really does play up. Okay, what am I getting from these other 11 kingdoms? What am I missing out on? And unfortunately, because of where it ended, we don't really get that answer. Which brings me to the point. This series is 45 episodes long. A lot of people say that you can stop on episode 39. I would have to agree. I think that the last six episodes are good for, again, just story, because this anime is really good at telling stories. But Yoko's journey is complete. And the branching out that they try to do in between arcs, it's great, but you have Yoko finishing what she started or what was forced upon her. So really, with that and there not being enough source material out potentially for more, you can do one of two things. You can either call it quits right there, or you can keep going and find some alternate route. But how many times has that worked effectively? So I get it. Either one that you want to stop at is 100% fine. If you're a completionist, then yeah, go to episode 45. If you just want the story of this protagonist who we've been seeing the world through, well, part of the world through, because there are many characters who we see the world through that I cannot bring myself to mention, but they're all worth talking about because they have so much to say about other people who were brought into this world and people with status. And what different levels of status mean to different people. Because it can really mess you up in this world, whether you are from it or not. And especially people who can essentially ascend to godhood, in a sense. What does that really mean in this world? It's just really, it fascinates me. I will say the music, like the show itself, has a lot of Chinese influence. And honestly, I did not think that it would be such an impact on the score. But lo and behold, it made it so good. I don't know all of the different instruments that were used, but dear God, I just am in love with how this sounds. I'm in love with the OST. I actually have as much of it downloaded on Spotify as I possibly could. And this definitely extends to the opening. The opening of the 12 Kingdoms that you hear, it's so cool. It goes from this kind of calming melody that also has this real emotional heft to it, to becoming this grand, exciting piece. And all the while, you're not seeing any characters. What you see in the opening of the 12 Kingdoms is the 12 Kingdoms lore, which in itself, that is such a bold move to say, we're going to show you the history of our world, how our world operates through these photos, and you are not going to understand any of it until you are well within the show. It's such a power move. I have no choice but to respect that. It is insane that they were able to put that level of detail into this opening without any lyrics, without any people. It's just, I'm gushing at this point because it's amazing. We are spoiled on being told things and not shown, but without having lyrics and without having the show don't tell method. This show don't tell method that we have become so accustomed to wanting so badly. Me personally, I don't mind an exposition dump. I don't mind if lyrics help to explain something. But to have this opening the way it is, it just ticks off all of the boxes for me. I think it's perfect, honestly. The ending, I'll tell you a story that'll make the ending make more sense. So my good friend Ryan's a white boy. Ryan's a white boy who went to a black church once. Ryan said, "You know, I never understood the Holy Ghost, but hearing that choir sing, I think I finally understood. Like, I got some spirit in me that day." I won't say what I heard from the ending gave me necessarily the Holy Ghost vibes, but my heart felt like it was going to burst from raw emotion, from the lyrics to the folksy, old-time melody. Everything was just so, again, perfect. It just is full of an earnest, beautiful, passionate personality that I did not know was possible. I've watched a lot of anime, obviously not every anime, but this one is just incredible for, if nothing else, those two. But it's just such a great show in general. I think that the art and the animation at some points may be a bit janky, but it's the early 2000s. What do you expect? Overall, the art and the animation are so beautiful. It's a great testament to time and the flip of cel animation and digital animation. I think this is probably one of the first instances of it being done really, really well. You can see the rough edges, most definitely, but overall, it is still a beautiful product by the end. I would also just really like to point out, if you were to get the Blu-ray of the 12 Kingdoms, the slipcover has the anime promotional art, but the actual Blu-ray case has light novel art. And when I say these are just full-on portraits, they are gorgeous. And each disc has one, which when you put it into your Blu-ray player, it has the full art set that you see on the disc, so you get to see the entire piece. And there are times where, because the opening is also playing, that just the song is playing when you are looking at this art. Sometimes I wouldn't start the episode because I just wanted to hover around that main area and it let me. So I could just breathe and observe every inch of that art that my eyes that need glasses and my decently sized TV would allow. It's calming. I'm glad that I got the Blu-ray, obviously for the upscale and resolution, but for that too, that is a wonderful bonus feature that I did not think that I would be lucky enough to have. And it's a really hard to find Blu-ray, so I'm sorry for tooting my own horn, but just any chance to hear that opening that pairs so well with light novel art, it was awesome. Now, despite everything that I've said, the pacing may not be for everyone. You're kind of thrown into this world, and then it kind of slows down for a bit. It has its ebbs and flows, and that may not be for everyone. You may find that you think that too much time is being spent on one character or one scene, one issue. And I get that. I felt that throughout. But the only thing I can say is I would heavily recommend sticking with it because there was always, always, always a payoff. Everything ended up making sense. I want to say third or fourth arc. I believe third, because that's what it's cut up in these books slash chapters. The third one, I'm pretty sure it was. There is a lot of focus on two certain characters, and I'm thinking, there is no way this is going to have any bearing on the story. Where is this going? We only have X amount of episodes before this arc is over. So why am I stuck with these two? Especially when I want to know how this is going to resolve itself. And dear Lord, when it all came together, I said, okay, this actually makes one, everything make sense, but also I feel like I got slapped in the face. But like I got slapped in the face by Cher, so I'm not mad about it. Because everything was so thoughtfully put together that it makes that ending, that payoff, so worth it. I think it would be demeaning to say that this is competent. So I won't say that. I also don't want to be a meme person right now and say that this is big brain 4D chess. This is one of the most well-crafted shows that I think I've ever seen in terms of overarching plots and having everything intersect so well. I am a huge fan of this. Plus, the pacing also really lets you familiarize yourself with this massive world that, again, when you start is hard to digest, but as you keep going and it's slower moments, it helps you learn better. So instant gratification is not a thing for this show. You really, it may be a test of patience for some people, but I will say it is definitely something worth watching, worth researching. You don't have to be a Blu-ray snob like me. Crunchyroll definitely has it. I'm fairly certain Retro Crush still has it. It is a masterclass in isekai. I know that some people might turn their noses up to it because it's older, but I promise you, it is so amazing on every front. I highly, highly, highly recommend that you watch The 12 Kingdoms. And with that being said, if you want to follow me, you can do so on Instagram at AnimeAlphaGoat. If you want to email me recommendations, you can do so at ouranimehome@gmail.com. If you want to support what it is that I'm doing, then please consider subscribing to the Patreon and the Buy Me a Tea. And everything can be found on my website, ouranimehome.com. And as always, you are more than welcome to join the Discord server because it's nice. Sometimes it's dead, sometimes it's alive. That's most Discord servers, but we share all of our recommendations there. And it's always nice just to, be able to check on people in your community. And I really love the Home for Anime community. Thank you all so much for listening. And with that, I am out.